All right. Yes, it's a pleasure. I've got my mother, Joy Weaver, here playing the piano today. And the girls, Natalie and Olivia, are joining today. So why don't we go to the Lord in prayer and continue to invite His presence to be here. I know that His presence has already been invited. And Lord Jesus, we just join our faith with those that have already prayed this morning to just invite You and to lead out and to be the God and be the Savior and to be the Lord of our lives, Lord Jesus. Oh, Father God, we just thank You for the opportunity to be able to come together and worship You in spirit and in truth, Lord Jesus. I pray that You will inhabit the praises of Your people this morning. Lord Jesus, we thank You for those that are here. Thank You for those that are not able to be here. We thank You for those that are still traveling. Lord Jesus, we pray that You would bless them if they're traveling, or bless them if they're not able to be here, Lord Jesus. And of course, we always think of the other churches around this county and around this state, around this nation, around the world, Lord Jesus, that are lifting up Your praises this day. Father God, I pray that You will bless them and keep them. Draw them close to You, Lord Jesus. Be real in their lives. Thank You, Father God. Holy One. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Thank You, Father God. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let the church say.
Amen. Well, Mom, let's start it off.
Let's stand up. Here we go. All right. If you don't know the person next to you, or if you do know the person next to you, just give them a handshake and say Happy Father's Day, and let's worship the Lord, all right? You know what? It's a woman's privilege to change her mind, so I'm going to change it right now, because everybody knows this song. Everybody, right, Natalie? Everybody? All this is a day. Those words, I changed it on Him already. Come on, put your hands together. This is a day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. This is a day. This is a day that the Lord hath made. We are the people. Okay, this song is Lord, I Lift Your Name Up High, and that's what we want to do today. Amen? Amen. Here we go. Sing. Lord, I lift Your name on high. Lord, I love to sing Your praises. I'm so glad You're in my life. I'm so glad You came to save us. Your name on. You came from heaven. You came from heaven. on, put your hands together. The way from the earth to the cross, my debt to pay. From the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky, Lord, I lift your name on high. Bless my head, Lord, I lift your name on high. Churches are meeting, and the Lord's name, the Lord Jesus' name, is being lifted up right now. Just think of that, our brothers and sisters. Amen. 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 Good singing. Let's do this one. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We bless your name, Lord. Blessed be the name.
Blessed Redeemer,
sing that again. We say your name. Everybody just say Jesus.
Jesus.
At the very mention of his name.
Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, Lord, I thank you for healing. I thank you for your presence, Lord, right now. Come and fill us. Oh, Lord, we love you.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Lord, we lift your name. If you wanted to sing your song to Jesus, let's lift our hands and sing to Jesus. Before even time began, my life was in his hands. He realize that? When you think of the God of all creation knows your name. Hallelujah. Let's sing it. And with this being Father's Day, God is our Heavenly Father. He knows everything about us. And He loves us. He loves us anyway. Amen. Thank you. Hallelujah.
And He hears me when
God bless you, Pastor.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
I'm going to start off with, I think, the Father's Day film, even though we're going to get into the word shortly. But Jordan, my bringing up that Father's Day film, someone else had found it, wanted to show it. So I figured what a wonderful time to show it, just right after that beautiful time of worship. And I don't even know what it says. So we're going to watch this Father's Day video together. So pray that's good.
You ready to be taken down?
Do you have a favorite superhero?
Yep, he's the best.
Nah, my superhero is the best.
What can your superhero do?
My superhero isn't afraid of anything.
My superhero helps people whenever they need it. He even helps cats.
Help! My cat is stuck in the tree!
In the day, nothing is impossible for my superhero to defeat.
Me to be a superhero just like him.
You are an expert in God's law. What does God say?
Love God with all of your heart and your neighbor as yourself.
You're right. Do that and you'll have eternal life.
Unlike some superheroes, mine knows where his powers come from.
Hey, Dad! My favorite superhero isn't Superman or Batman or Wolverine or Iron Man.
My favorite superhero is better than all of those combined.
My favorite superhero is my dad.
Mine too.
Heads up!
Who's ready for a water balloon fight?
Morning, everybody. Glad that you are here on this Father's Day. Thank you to all you wonderful dads. Even you being here today is a blessing, or you could have been sleeping in, or you could have been getting breakfast in bed, although I would probably have liked that. Was that an option? It was not an option for me, no. Although I'm sure my family would have done it if I wasn't studying at 6 a.m. for today to bring you guys the word, because that's what's important. You know, what's going to really change our lives and change our kids' lives is how much time that we are spending with the Lord personally, taking in what he has to say, not just getting it in here, but hiding his word in our hearts that we won't sin against him. Amen? Amen. I'll let God do that in you and through you, so that you could be a super dad or a super mom or a super friend or, hey, super friend. That was unintentional for those of you who are older. Okay, a couple of announcements we have here today. And we have a little bit of bread, not too much today, not like our usual stop. But again, please take it home free in Jesus' name. You guys already know to receive the tithes and offerings back in the bird box. And you guys already know about all these movies. Hey, now I'm getting nervous. Because this, all right, sorry. What I'm thinking in my head, just why I'm going rut-row, is I'm thinking, I wonder if this is the right PowerPoint. But we're going to get to that, and the Lord will take care of it. So we'd like you to join us Sunday mornings for prayer at 9 a.m. with Gary. We'd be happy to have you. Also, men's Bible study, the first and third Tuesdays at 6 p.m. For dinner, and at 6:30 p.m. for Bible study. We are going through 1 Timothy. Is that still correct? I think that's going to be a fantastic book, man. I'm so glad you're doing that. And you can see Gary for more details. Also, Wednesday, the Transformers Youth Group, they're going through the book of James. Now, I've watched, now I got to watch Josh teach last week. Man, he did such a good job, and I got to watch Amanda teach before, and she did a great job too. I was just really proud of them, both of them just growing in the Lord and trying to instill God's word into others. And so I'm just so excited about that. That's Wednesdays from 6:30 to 8:30. So, okay, we're not having our normal barbecue and Bible study Thursday nights for the next umpteen weeks over the summer because we're doing a parenting course. And so we've got a bunch of families. So if you've signed up for that course, I do have, and if you are with us, I do have the workbooks right up here. So please grab a workbook afterwards. And if you would still like to take the course, let us know. I absolutely guarantee God will use this course in your life to teach you how to be a better parent or grandparent or child care worker to work with kids. And so just encourage you to do that. Also, we had a bunch of our kids just come back from CYIA, Christian Youth in Action, the Teen Missionary and Evangelism Training. There they are. Aren't they cute? Woo-woo! So the regional director just called and honestly had some amazing things to say about the kids. Even before they got home, they said, I just wanted to call and share some stuff. And it was really amazing. And so we're just so proud of them. And so, hey, maybe we'll have you guys, I don't know if Josh is here today, but maybe we'll have you guys teach a youth group one time. Would that be cool? You can amp it up. You can amp it up now. All right, so we have that. Also, we're going through the Word. You guys know we just finished up. We are now in the book of Daniel, Purpose, Prayer, and Prophecy, Living a Countercultural Life. Okay, so if you could open your Bibles to the book of Daniel, we are in chapter 2. And if you don't have a Bible, kind-hearted Chris, can you grab some Bibles? And if you need a Bible, raise your hand, and one will be delivered to you. As I get my Bible, which is somewhere. There we go. Fantastic. All right. Well, if you've missed, I'm going to say this. I don't usually say, hey, listen to the stuff online, you know, whatever, because I don't want it to sound like... Anyway. But I'm going to tell you, if you missed those first two chapters, well, chapter one, maybe intro, maybe this is our third week. I can't remember. Well, anyway... They have been some awesome, awesome teachings. So much archaeology, so much historical proof of Daniel, so much amazing stuff, honestly, in these last two or three weeks. You know, if you missed it, I would really strongly encourage you to go and listen to that online at homefellowshipchurch.com. Even last week, I had just folks come up. We made it through, I think we started Daniel chapter 2 last week, and afterwards we spent about an hour and And George said, Pastor Darren, I think we got through all of two verses. And so, but I think we can agree that that was very powerful stuff and that the Lord had something special for us last week. And so when that kind of thing happens, I absolutely love it. And so if somebody wouldn't mind just reading, how about verses 1 through 3 while I slide through all my slides? Where's the microphone? Oh, great. Would somebody mind reading Daniel chapter 2, verses 1 through 3 out loud? Somebody will bring you the mic. So just raise your hand or we'll all just sit here awkwardly as I scroll through all these slides to catch up to where we are at.
One night during the second year of his reign, Nebuchadnezzar had such disturbing dreams that he couldn't sleep. He called in his magicians, enchanters, and sorcerers, and astrologers, and he demanded that they tell him what he had dreamed. As they stood before the king, he said, "I have a dream that deeply troubles me and must know what it means."
Yeah. So here we are. If you remember what happened from Daniel chapter 1, the Lord's judgment used Nebuchadnezzar, King Nebi, and he came into Jerusalem and he basically overthrew Judah and took a bunch of the people with him. Among them, some of the brightest of the youth. Among them were some young men and young women named Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. You guys know some of them as Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and that type of name. And Babylonian king, he was like the king of the world at that time. Okay, and so you guys remember, you know, historians recorded as one of the seven wonders of the world, the Hanging Gardens of Babylon that he made for his wife. We went over all this. We're not going to do all this again. But you remember just the opulent, just the huge, incredible amount, according to historians, of what this place was like was amazing. You know, even just the golden image of Baal and a golden table weighing over 50,000 pounds of gold, you know, just incredible stuff like that. It was just amazing. This is what it looks like according to historians. This was one of the eighth gates, which they dug up and found. This was the eighth gate leading into the city, okay? And they dug that one up. You guys remember seeing that last week in the German Museum. I don't know if they pay for that when they dig that kind of stuff up. But this is the Ishtar Gate. Again, it was reconstructed. It's now in a German museum in Berlin. There's what it looked like when it was being dismantled. There's walls with an inscription from King Nebuchadnezzar saying that all these things are true, historically proving the Bible is right yet again. And I think of all these things that were just found recently, everybody else just had to accept it by faith. You guys get to know that the Bible is proved true over and over again. This should embolden your faith. It confounds the critics, but it should comfort the Christian. You guys should be jazzed up. You guys should say, "Man, I want to know what God has to say because it's being proved true again and again." You guys already saw this stuff from last week, so we're not going to go through it all, so blah blah blah. Okay, but you guys remember that even just recently in 2015 they found about 100 cuneiform tablets, some of them from King Nebuchadnezzar that shared that they did during King Nebuchadnezzar's time, that they did take over Judah and Jerusalem, and they did bring back a bunch of families as, I forget how they put it, I don't think they put it as slaves, but that's what they were, and to work for them and to train them up, and some of those cuneiform tablets contained information of Judean families for over four generations, names, great-grandchildren, amazing, amazing stuff, and incredible find. And so he has this dream, he has everything in the world, but the King Nebi can't find a good night's sleep because he doesn't know the Lord. And you know what? There's one thing, you know, if you're here today, we all get anxious, right? We all get overwhelmed. Isn't that true? We all have stuff. But you know what? If you have Jesus, if you truly have him in your heart, you have something that no one else has. He is your peace in the middle of any situation. You have Jesus. Your peace, your rest is not determined by your circumstances, what you have, what you don't have. It's determined by Jesus. Listen, I've already, my name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life, not because I'm so self-righteous, but because I've given my heart humbly. I've been broken before the Lord, and He saved me. I said, Lord, I want You in my life. Please take over. I want to live for You and honor You. And He's done that, and He's given me peace. That's my Jesus. I feel so bad for folks who just come to church. I feel how empty that must be. Like you're almost getting it a little bit. Maybe something during a worship time or something during the word. But you're missing out. He has come to give us eternal life. Dude. You. You. Me. Are you kidding? That's amazing. That's our God. So, we talked about when King Nebuchadnezzar had these dreams, and we talked a lot about dreams and how God still uses them today. And a lot of times it's just kind of, could be bad pizza, could be subconscious, but it could be that God's trying to speak to you something as well, or it could be the enemy as well. So you got to have discernment. So he brings in all his magicians and astrologers and soothsayers and sorcerers and all this. And again, we made we differentiated between just folks doing sleight of hand, okay, which we're not talking about, okay, illusionists, sleight of hand card tricks, making a rabbit come out of a hat, that type of thing, and you know, jokey stuff. If you guys remember this from at least when I was young, the magic eight ball. The difference between real folks that are using dark arts. Witches and warlocks and all that stuff. There is a side of that. We went over that in a lot of detail that use the dark arts. We started off in Exodus and from chapter 7, and we talked about all these things, how God's doing miracles in Exodus, and those magicians and enchanters are using their dark arts, and finally they get to the point to where they say, we can't do this. We can't match it. It's the finger of God. It's too much for us anymore. And so there's a demonic element to a lot of that stuff that we have to stay far away from as Christians. You remember we read in Deuteronomy chapter 18, 9 to 14, he said, hey, when you guys go into this land, I don't want you doing these things. I don't want you listening to sorcerers or going to mediums or people who consult the dead. Stay away from it. In fact, I don't even want you. Not only do I not want you doing it, he says in Deuteronomy, I don't even want you listening to it. But our culture says, oh, it's okay. Hey, the witches are the good guys, right? Good witches, good wizards, right? It's all okay, right? Somebody came up to me afterwards this week and said, man, that was a really powerful teaching on Sunday. I looked up some of the stuff you said, and you were right. There's some bad stuff out there. I said, I know. But the enemy dumbs us down. Oh, it's okay. What's the big deal, right? Wrong. Now listen, somebody else suggested that I go over this whole thing again, and I'm not going to do that. We showed you in the book of Acts, the folks that when they got saved, man, they burned their spell books and they burned their scrolls. You know, all that witchcraft, sorcery, tarot card reading, mediums, seances, some of that stuff, they're just trying to rip you off. Other stuff, they tap in the dark arts. The Bible says to stay far away from that as possible. Let me just say that. You can look up some of those verses. That's what we went over last Sunday. But stay as far away from that. There's hooks in it. There's traps in it. And I've seen you raising your hand. I don't know where the mic is. Sweet Pea, would you please use your blinding girl speed? Thank you. Look at that. You're amazing.
I know you have a lot to cover. I wanted to say this last week. Well, first, because I just kind of overheard a little bit of chatter when we talk about not reading horoscopes. Mm-hmm. Well, first, and then it's like, well, I just read it for entertainment. Uh-huh. Well, the word says don't even entertain mm-hmm. that. But Jen wanted to know what I was going to say. And so we shared it. And as we were talking, when we read the horoscopes and we read that, maybe it says, oh, today's going to be a bad day. Stay away from people. Mm-hmm. We're letting that change our actions for that day. And maybe the Lord wants you to go out. Maybe you have a smile that you need to give someone or a word or something, and yet you pull away and you do change your actions, whether you think it's not affecting you or not. Yeah. The other thing is, you know, I don't even do this with my kids now, but you know, when we were younger, like I'm a Leo.
Yeah.
You know, what is that? Oh, we're stubborn. Yeah. We're prideful, whatever. And we take that on.
Yeah.
And that's not who God says we are. Yes. But yet we read those and we see what each one means. And yeah, maybe you can see the semblance, but that's not who you have to be. And that's not who God says you are.
Amen.
And you can change. So not even entertaining it, not even putting those thoughts and ideas in your head.
Yes.
You're just so much better off.
You know, amen. I had someone call me, 20 or 30s now, and he, I don't even say this, Lord, give me the right words. He did get saved. He used to follow the Lord, and he's just gone way off track, way derailed. And he called me. This is a cool, grown man. I mean, if you saw him on the streets, you'd be like, you know, wow, this guy's got everything together. And he called me up in tears, and he's just like, Pastor Darren, I know if there's anyone who's going to tell me the truth, it's going to be you. Okay, I'm reading these horoscope things. I'm reading this stuff. I just started doing it for fun, and now I'm starting doing it. And now I'm getting more into it, and I'm more into it. And all of a sudden, and now I'm starting to feel this darkness. I'm starting to feel this, there's this pull, there's this whole open. And he just started going into all this stuff that he's experiencing, this dark stuff, this demonic stuff. He's like, I'm guessing the Bible says this stuff is not. And I said, not at all. And we went over some of the scriptures. And so, you know, I had a wonderful person after the service come and say that they were in a coven for years. And you know, don't even open those doors. And one thing that this person said, which was so true, I've worked with other witches and they're leaving that stuff behind, is they said that those demonic forces want to stay with you. And here's why. Because once you open yourself up to some of those yucky forces, you know, and you start knowing some of their powers and some of their, that stuff's real, well, and now you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, well, you have information they don't want you to have. Do you know what I'm saying? And so, you know, what do we do? Somebody's like, what do I do? Okay, well, the good thing is, if you're just getting saved, the Bible says, if anyone is in Christ, you're a new creation. The old has what? Gone. And the new has come. You start afresh. If you're, get rid of anything in your house that's, you know, anything occult, like, yeah, Ouija boards, tarot cards, oh, we just do it for fun. Stay away from that. That is foolish. Get it out of your house. Oh, it's just a little witch doll. Bye. Oh, I got a cute little voodoo doll. Bye. Get it out of your house. Oh, I just, you know, I have this book and this DVD series, Once Upon a... I have this this book series. Oh, he's a good witch. His name's Harry. You know, whatever it is, you get rid of it. Don't keep that stuff in your house. Hello? Why even open those doors to that demonic realm? Here's a couple things, okay? Just a couple more, because, again, people wanted me to go over it, and I was just not going to do it. It's just way, way too much information. But Leviticus 19:31 says, don't turn to mediums or seek out spiritists, for you will be defiled by them. This is God saying this. I am the Lord your God. Leviticus 26 says, I will also, this is God speaking, I will also turn against those who commit spiritual prostitutions by putting their trust in mediums or in those who consult the spirits of dead. I will cut them off from the community. Hello, do you think God takes this seriously? And I did a Revelation verse in 22, but here's one I didn't mention. In Revelation 21, it's talking about Jesus, and he's coming with his rewards, and he's so excited. He's going to wipe every tear from your eye for the Christian, and you can't even imagine what he has. But this is what he says in Revelation 21:8. Okay, so these are the ones that are going to be in hell. Okay, the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who what? Practice magic arts, the idolaters, and all liars. Their fate is in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. Huh. I don't know about you, but at least for me, I want to stay as far away from that as possible. Amen? Amen. So anyway, so these guys, they're in there, they're talking to Daniel, and they're trying to figure out, you know, the king brings them in, and would you hit the lights just for a second, Mr. Chris? Thanks, buddy. And so in verse 3, and he's saying, man, I have this dream. And he's saying, you know, I know this dream isn't a normal dream. You know, it wasn't a wacky, crazy dream. It wasn't because I ate some bad, you know, shish kebabs. I know something was, and sometimes maybe you've had some of those dreams where you know it's not just a normal dream. You know there's something to it. So he calls all of his top wise men in the world. Here they are. They've taken over all the lands. They've trained them in the occult powers. These guys have powers. And he goes to them. He's like, man, I want you to tell me what this means. This was probably in the middle of the night. He's the king. I could just see him all sleepy-eyed. Yes, king. Yes, sir. And he brings them all in. I've had a dream that troubles me, and I want to know what it means. And the astrologers answered the king in Aramaic. I'll talk about that maybe later. He says, they say, oh, king, live forever. Tell your servants the dream, and we will interpret it. Okay, so the first thing is, they say, oh, king, live forever. What are they doing there? They're schmoozing him, right? Oh, okay, that's what you say to total tyrannical rulers, right? So they don't cut your head off, and yes, that's what you say to them. Or you say that to Elvis. Those are the two. So they're schmoozing him. And listen, I just, as a Christian, just a quick side note real quickly. Oh, maybe I should talk about that. No, I'm going to wait. You know, as a Christian, we're supposed to be real, okay? We don't be fake. We don't want to be putting on this fake air, okay? This is what the Bible says about flattery, okay? Now, here's what flattery is, okay? If we talk about gossip and flattery, as a Christian, we're not to have anything to do with it. Gossip is saying things behind people's backs that you, let me think, saying things behind people that you wouldn't say to their face. Flattery is saying something to someone's face that you wouldn't really say about them in private. Do you know what I'm saying? It's fake. It's phony. Never do that as a Christian. You're to be truthful in everything you say. So when people know when you talk, they should listen. Now, they might not like what you have to say, right? But they're going to listen to you. So don't flatter people. Now, I'm not saying that you can't give a compliment. If I say, oh, Hezekiah, your hair looks nice today. Joe, you look good. That's a nice t-shirt. Or whatever, not a t-shirt, but you know what I'm saying. Those things are true. It's okay to give compliments. But flattery is schmoozing somebody. And as a Christian, that's just fake. And he wants you to be as far away from fake as possible. Make sense? Okay, so he says, oh, king, live forever. Get the light, thanks. And he says, tell your servants the dream and we will interpret it. No doubt they had books and occult things where, okay, you can have a dream. And now some of them were probably shucksters, you know. They were probably, you know, trying to bamboozle them. Some of them probably did have occult powers, and I'm sure they... So they could say the dream meant anything. Now, maybe this king, since this is only a second or third year reigning, maybe he saw these guys as he grew up. Now, he just inherited this kingdom, right, from his dad? So maybe he's like, okay, I don't want to just tell you the dream and interpret it, because it could mean anything you say. I want you, if you really have these, see how powerful your occult powers are, I not only want you to interpret the dream, I want you to tell me what the dream was. Now that's something different. Verse 5, the king replied to the astrologers, this is what I have firmly decided. If you don't tell me what my dream was and interpret it, I will have you cut into pieces. And your houses turned into piles of rubble. And that Aramaic word for rubble is nevelu. And here's what it means. It literally means a foul refuse heap. It means a latrine. It means a dunghill, some of your place where people will go poop. That's what he's saying. In fact, and it says in Aramaic, it just says you're going to be in pieces. So he's going to put these guys in a Vegematic, chop them up in little pieces. Not only that, but I'm going to reduce your home, this lavish place you're living as some of the most prominent men in all Babylon, to rubble, to a place where people go to the bathroom and defecate on your home and your name. Okay, so now these guys are like, what? Now, if I were one of these guys, I would be nervous. He says to them, oh, and by the way, just so you know, cut into pieces, there's tons of history that talks about Nebuchadnezzar being a terrible guy. He was a brutal man. I've told you things about he did with King Zedekiah, took his gouge, you know, killed his sons right in front of him, then gouged out his eyes. So the last thing he saw was, I mean, he just did terrible, terrible things. In Jeremiah 29:22, these are prominent men and false prophets in Israel. He says, it says, because of them, the curse shall be used by all the exiles from Judah and Babylon. The Lord will make you like Zedekiah and Ahab, who the king of Babylon roasted on the fire. So here's a guy who would roast people, skewer them, and roast them alive. When he says, I'm going to cut you into little pieces and make your house a dunghill, this isn't an idle threat from a guy. They know he's going to do it. So this is serious stuff. So this is kind of like the carrot and the stick. Oh, by the way, so this is what's going to happen if you don't do it. But if you do, verse 6 says, if you tell me the dream and explain it, you'll receive from me gifts and rewards and great honor. So, yeah, he was. Yep. So tell me the dream and interpret it for me. Verse 7, look at your Bibles. It says, once more they replied, let the king tell his servants the dream and we'll interpret it. I mean, you even find that now, right? You can read it in some newspapers and TV guides and they'll have it. Oh, this is what a dream means and blah, 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 blah. Listen, this king's a little bit wiser than that. The king answered, hey, I love this. This is kind of funny to me. Then the king answered, I'm certain that you're trying to gain time because you realize that this is what I've firmly decided. Verse 9 says, if you do not tell me the dream, there is just one penalty for you. Yep. Vegematic. You have conspired to tell me misleading and wicked things, hoping the situation will change. So then, tell me the dream, and I will know that you can interpret it for me. So the astrologers answered the king. Now, they're trying to answer, they're panicked now, thinking, oh my gosh, we're all going to die. Our families are going to die. Our houses are going to be made rubble and dunghills. They're trying to answer as politely they can in a panic, okay? So they say, they can't say, you're crazy. Who can do that? Nobody. So this is what they say. They tell the astrologers, answer to king, the king, there is not a man on earth who can do what the king asks. Is that true or not true? Yeah, it's kind of one of those yes and no. There is not, yeah, when he says there's not a man on earth, they even know it. Well, there's not a man on earth, but there's a God in heaven who can give an answer and tell the dream, isn't there? And that's something even their occult powers couldn't do. As powerful as they were in the dark arts, they couldn't do what the king was asking. He goes on to say in verse 10, no king, however great and mighty, has ever asked such a thing of any magician or enchanter or astrologer. What the king asks is too difficult. No one can reveal it to the king except the gods, and they do not live among men. Well, just so you know, we do have the God who came down from heaven, Emmanuel, which means God with us, and dwelt with us. And he says to them in verse 12, this made the king so angry and furious that he ordered the execution of, not just all the wise men as top officials that came into his palace, however many that were, 100, who knows, but he ordered the execution of all the wise men in Babylon. Now, that is demonic, but he can do it. This is not like, you know, there's no check and balances here. You know what I'm saying? There's not like, hey, the Senate disapproves, you know. If he says do it, it's done. So, verse 13, so the decree was issued to put the wise men to death, and men were sent out to look for Daniel. So the executioner is going out, starting to kill people. There's a lot, okay? And this is the biggest city in the world at this time. There's so many. So it's going to take some time. So he starts to kill. They start the killing, I believe. And it says that, so the decree was issued to put the wise men to death, and men were sent out to look for Daniel and his friends. Now, they were either in that university, that occult university, for 3 years and just graduated, or they're still finishing. It just depends on the timeline. We don't know for sure. So he goes in verse 14, when Arioch, the commander of the king's guard, the executioner, had gone out to put to death the wise men of Babylon, and he gets to the university there where Daniel's at or wherever, Daniel spoke to him with wisdom and tact. I like that. You know, he's not, now maybe he is a little nervous, but he speaks to them, it says, with wisdom and tact. Proverbs 16:23 says, from a wise mind comes wise speech. The words of the wise are persuasive. Colossians chapter 4, verses 5, 6 says, be wise in the way that you act towards outsiders. Christian, this is for you. Be wise in how you speak. Think about what you say. Think about how you say things. Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. It says, let your conversations be gracious or filled with grace and attractive so that you will have the right response for everyone. So he's speaking to them with wisdom. He's speaking to them with tact. And verse 15 says, he asked the king's officer, why did the king issue such a hasty decree or a harsh decree? And Arioch explained the matter to Daniel. And at this, Daniel went into the king and asked for time so that he might interpret the dream for him. Now, this is actually pretty bold to Daniel. Do you remember what happened to the last wise men who asked for more time just a little bit ago? The king said he was going to now kill everybody because they were stalling. And Arioch must think enough of this guy, Daniel. There must be something about him that he just says, okay, I'll take you to the king. And the king actually grants him a little bit of time. Now, verse 17 says this, verse 16, at this, Daniel went into the king and asked for time so that he might interpret the dream for him. Verse 17 says, then Daniel returned to his house and explained the matter to his friends, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. And they panicked. No, it didn't say that. It says he urged them to do what? Plead for mercy from the God of heaven concerning this mystery, so that he and his friends might not be executed with the rest of the wise men in Babylon. Here's what he's doing. He says, okay, we got to pray. Now, I just want, sometimes we just, that's not the first thing we do. You know what I mean? But there is so much power in prayer. The Lord holds all the keys, all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are in him. We have to seek him fervently. In fact, he says, he urged them to plead with the Lord for mercy. Now listen, sometimes now you're in a real dangerous situation. Before it's like, Lord, we thank you for today. And I got to think of something else to say to pray about. We're not talking about that. We're saying we need to plead with the Lord. There's something about coming to the Lord. I don't think the Lord is pleased with disingenuous prayers. Do you know what I'm saying? Like when you're praying for filler. Do you know what I'm saying? The Lord wants our prayers to be purposeful. You know, 1 Timothy 2:1 says, I urge you to pray on every occasion for everyone, to make intercession for them. He wants you to pray persistently. Luke chapter 18:1 says, Jesus told a parable how to pray and never give up. He says, I want you to pray passionately. You know, listen, I like this. I love how the King James says this. James 5:16 says, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man or woman availeth much. Now, I'm not saying that you have to like, okay, I'm going to scream really loud at God because then he can hear me. Okay, you know what I'm saying? I'm not saying that. But I'm saying when we pray, you're asking the Lord, just let it be real. Let it be genuine from your heart. Miss Sue, can we bring the microphone to her, whoever has it? Thank you, sweetie. Thank you, Sue.
I was just thinking that I think this is another example of the fact that God likes to use us as a body, mm-hmm. not as single Lone Rangers.
Yes, that's exactly right. Yeah, Daniel could have just said, hey, I'm going to pray by myself, right? But no, he went and he got his friends that are seeking the Lord, and he said, hey, let's pray together. And I really like that, you know. In fact, I have that a little bit later on, that exact point. But that's exactly right. He's gathering people. Let's pray. Do it. Ask your friends to be praying for things. There might be something that you just want to keep yourself. I know, anyway, there should be people. We were praying Thursday night at the parenting group for someone. Won't go into detail how, but they've had a lot of strokes, and so we just, let's just pray. So we all gathered and prayed for this person, and feeling very hopeless, you know, feeling very depressed, always been a prayer warrior, and feeling very alone, and had some bunch of strokes, and God, in the group of us, God gave an answer, God gave a word for them to deliver to them in that group, and now who knew, but the person who delivered it said, this was one of their very favorite verses. I got a text saying, that was one of their very favorite verses, and God encouraged them with bringing that exact verse. It was some obscure verse in 2 Kings. I don't even remember where it was, but God had the exact right verse for the exact. But it was all of us. There's some times where we'll be praying for people, and God will give a word, and Gary will say, God's given me a word. And he'll say the word, and then we'll all start praying. Now, I'm not jealous of that fact. I'm saying, oh, thank you, Lord. You gave us a word. And when Daniel prays, it's an us thing. It's a we thing, not a me thing. Does that make sense? So make your requests known to one another. Pray together. Okay? All right. He goes on to say, okay, he returned to his house, explained the matter to his friends, and they prayed. Okay, verse 19. During the night, the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a vision. Then Daniel praised the God of heaven. And I love this. This next, you could tell he's a man that knows the word because there's a bunch of verses and sections in here from different parts of Scripture. But he just starts praising the Lord. He knew the word of God. And he goes out and he says, in verse 20, praise be to the name of God forever and ever. Wisdom and power are his. Think about this. God has just answered their prayers, an impossible thing. You know, we need to be praising the Lord all the time, right? If you're saved here, can I just, you know, bring you back to reality? You have been saved from hell, from a life of debauchery, man. Oh my goodness. Thank you, Jesus. Psalm 34, 1 to 2 says, I will praise the Lord sometimes. What does it say? I will praise the Lord at all times. Man, I will speak constantly speak his praises. I will boast only in the Lord. Let all who are helpless take heart. Daniel's not going, oh, I'm so spiritual. God answered me. He's like, oh, God, you're so awesome. Thank you. Listen to this verse. This is Psalm 145, 1 and 2. I will exalt you, my God the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise and extol your name forever and ever. Just like it says even in this verse right here. It says in verse 21, he changes the times and season. He sets up kings and disposes them. Poor Chris, every time you turn off the light, I'm going to hit the next one. Proverbs 21:1 says, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. Like the rivers of water, he turns it wherever he wishes. It's all in God's hands. He goes on to say, he reveals deep and hidden things in verse 22. He knows what lies in darkness, and light dwells within him. Our God reveals things to people. John 14:26 says, if you have the Holy Spirit in you, that he will teach you all things. I love that. In fact, 1 John says you don't even need any man to teach you because you have the Holy Spirit. The only reason I can teach you is because God's called me to teach you. And his Holy Spirit is prompting me and helping me teach you. Otherwise, I couldn't teach you. There are some people who are gifted at it. I am not. You say, we know, Pastor Dan. But God does it anyway, right? He uses the foolish things to confound the wise, and I'm a foolish thing. But listen to this. In Amos, it's God who reveals things. Listen to this. Amos 4:13 says, he who forms the mountains, who creates the wind, and who reveals his thoughts to mankind, who turns dawn to darkness, and treads on the heights of the earth, the Lord God Almighty is his name. He reveals the thoughts of mankind. It's God that does all this stuff. And then he goes on to say, I thank you, Lord. Praise you, O God of my fathers. You have given me wisdom, power, and you have made known to me what we asked of you. See, there's the we. You have made known to us the dream of the king, the we and the us. And why did Daniel pray the we and the us? Is he a self-centered person? For all the others, we're all praying together. So yeah, man, we need to be thankful. 1 Chronicles 16:34, it's so easy to complain and grumble, isn't it? It's natural for me, just be honest. I'm a whiner. Don't laugh, honey. I can be a little whiner, 49er. Grumbler, complainer, right? But instead, man, how about we just give thanks to the Lord for he's good. And his love endures forever. 1 Thessalonians says, I want you, Christian, I know so many Christians, they'll only give thanks if things are going well for them. If it's not, they're mad. They're throwing a little hissy fit. God says, I want you to give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you. Hey, you want to know what God's will for you in your life is? Be thankful to him every day. Man, he's given you another breath. Your heart's still beating. You can worship him. You can seek him. There are folks dropping off to hell every day. Not you. There are folks that can't even get their hands on the Word of God. You have Bibles in your laps. Do we read them, I wonder? You have access to the living God. You can pray anytime. Wow. Are we? You know, somebody said this one time. What if you woke up today with only the things you thank God for yesterday? What if you woke up today with only the things you thank God for yesterday? How much would you have? Be thankful for your dad. Be thankful for your grandkids. Be thankful for your church. Be thankful for your husband, especially you. Sorry. Be thankful for a godly friend. Be thankful for people who serve you and love you. Be thankful for people's faithfulness. God, we have so much to be thankful for. Jen, I see you raising your hand. Okay. Thank you. Want to hear what you have to say.
Oh, man. I heard something else recently that piggybacks on, you know, this thought. It said, what if God answered all of your prayers yes today? Whose lives would that affect? Would only your life be changed, or would the world around you change, your neighbors, you know?
Yes.
What is it that we're praying for, you know? And we should go to God expectantly, knowing that he will answer.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
If we're praying for his will to be done. Will.
That's right. Ooh, good addition there. You're absolutely correct. But yes, we should. And you know what? Somebody came to me this past week, maybe it was week before, and just said, I'm really doing better in my prayers. I'm maturing. I said, oh, that's great. I said, how come? He's like, I'm not just praying for myself all the time. I was like, what? He's like, no, I'm just praying for others all the time. I'm praying for them to be blessed, for them to be encouraged, for them to be deepened in their faith, for them to have a passion for the Lord. I'm praying for everybody else. Man, I feel great. I was like, that's awesome. I love it. Let's be thankful. Be prayerful. Okay. We're going to get through this. We're going to get through this. I said that last week, but I really mean it. Okay, so let's continue on. In verse 24, then Daniel went to Arioch, whom the king had appointed to execute the wise men of Babylon, and said to him, do not execute the wise men of Babylon. Take me to the king. I will interpret his dream for him. Now, it says this in verse 25. Now, Arioch must have seen something again in Daniel. Arioch took Daniel to the king at once and said, I love this. You could tell Arioch's a little bit of an opportunist. If you know, look what he says. I have found the man among the exiles from Judah who can tell the king what his dream means. Yeah, it was me. Don't want to brag. I've been looking high and low, kingy. Found the guy. It's me. I remember I heard what you said. Great wealth you'd give to the person. Just saying. Daniel, me. Brought him to you. So that's what he says. Verse 26 says, the king asked Daniel. Remember, this is the king of the world, also called Belteshazzar. You remember they even took their names away and gave them pagan names. He says, are you able to tell me what I saw in my dream and interpret it? This is hilarious to me. Daniel replied in verse 27, no. Now, can I tell you something? If I was Arioch, the captain of the king's guards, I would have just wet myself right then. Cut it to pieces. House of dunghill. I mean, thinking, oh, what did I do? I was so prideful. Stupid, stupid, stupid. Why the same thing with the other wise? That's exactly right. And so Arioch, so first he says no. He says no, wise man. Daniel replied, no. No, wise man, enchanter, magician or diviner can explain to the king the mystery he has asked about. But I love this. But there's always a but. There's a but God. I don't like buts when people are making excuses about why they can't obey the Lord and his word. But I like but gods. Do you know what I'm saying? Okay, this shouldn't work out, but God is amazing. I know I can't do it, but God will give me the strength. But God will provide. This is one of these but God moments. And he says, but there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries. He has shown King Nebuchadnezzar what will happen in the days to come. Your dream and the visions that pass through your mind as you lay on your bed are these. Now, here's what he's thinking. I didn't even ask you about what before I fell asleep. You're telling me, but when I was laying on my bed, I was thinking about these things. And now he's going to tell it. Listen, God is the one who reveals stuff. Oh, I should have said that, but oh well, I forgot. Genesis 4:8. Joseph said this, we both had dreams, they answered, but there was no one to interpret them. Remember when he was in prison, Joseph, with the baker and the candlestick maker? The cupbearer and the baker. Then Joseph said to them, do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me your dreams. And you remember he inquired of the Lord. Genesis 41:16 says, when Joseph said, they brought him up to Pharaoh. Pharaoh said, can you interpret this dream? He said, I cannot do it. Joseph replied, but God will give the Pharaoh the answer he desires. It's God who does that in dream interpretation if it's from him. Listen, I can tell you that this is true. Sometimes people will come to me and because in the past folks have shared their dreams with me and they've asked me to pray, and I always say, hey, have you prayed for an ask for interpretation? That's the first thing I say. Yeah, I didn't get one. Okay, well then I'll pray about it. And so because God has given me in the past, like some of these interpretations, they'll come to me and they'll say, Pastor Darren, I had this weird dream. And blah, 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 blah. Tell me what it means. Now, I have no idea what it means. I'm an idiot. There's this big rainbow fish. I don't know what it means. I'll pray and ask the Lord. Now, if he gives me the answer, and sometimes I'll just say, you know what? I don't know. I prayed and I didn't get an answer. But you did it for them. Well, I can't. It's not like a switch. I'm asking God for interpretation. If he gives it to me, then I'll give it to you. But otherwise, but God can do that. So if you have a dream, ask him for an interpretation, or then ask someone that you know and love to pray with you for that interpretation. Okay? Okay, so this is what the dream meant. It goes, here we go. So as verse 29, as you were lying there, O king, your mind turned to things to come, and the revealer of mysteries showed you what is going to happen. Now again, what's going to happen here? God's going to reveal some stuff. What's going to happen in history? This is 600 years before Christ. Who's going to take over? Superpower after superpower after superpower. That's why people say Daniel was so accurate about what happened before Christ. They just can't believe it. If you don't know the Lord, you'd think they must have done something, or they wrote it later in Jesus' time, but that's not the truth. I should tell you why, but it's a lot to get through still. Okay, here we go. He says, verse 30, as for me, this mystery has been revealed to me, and I love Daniel for this, not because I have greater wisdom than any other living men, but so that you, O king, may know the interpretation, and you may understand what went through your mind. And I just love Daniel's humility here, you know. He's saying, hey, I'm nothing special. I'm not like Arioch. Hey, look who I found. Hey, I'm nothing special. I'm just going to tell you, and it's for you. See, God's trying to communicate something to you. Philippians 2:3, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself. I'm telling you what God is trying to speak to you. Humility is not thinking less of yourself. It's thinking of yourself less. Humility is thinking more of others. So he's saying, I'm nothing. I'm just telling you what God is saying to you. And I love this. Luke 14:11 says, for all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted in due time. And you're going to see that's what's going to happen to Daniel here. Verse 31, now he starts to explain it. He says, you looked, O king, and there before you stood a large statue, an enormous, dazzling statue, awesome in appearance. Picture like a mile-high Oscar or something like that, you know, Emmy or something like that. It says, it was enormous, awesome in appearance. Verse 32, the head of the statue is made of pure gold, its chest and arms of silver, its belly and thighs of bronze, its legs of iron, its feet partly of iron and partly of baked clay. And while you were watching, a rock was cut out, not by human hands, and it struck the statue on the feet of iron and clay and smashed them. Then the iron, the clay, the bronze, the silver, the gold were broken to pieces at the same time and became like chaff on the threshing floor in summer, just dust in the wind. All we are, sorry. The wind swept them away without leaving a trace, but the rock that struck the statue became a huge mountain and filled the whole earth. By the way, that rock is Jesus Christ. We'll get to that in a minute. Verse 36, this was the dream, and now we will interpret it for the king. I love that. Other-centered, togetherness. Right, Sue? Verse 37, you, O king, are the king of kings. He means earthly kings. The God of heaven has given you dominion and power and might and glory. In your hands he placed mankind and the beasts of the field and the birds of the air. Wherever they live, he has made you ruler over all. You are that head of gold. After that, another kingdom will rise, inferior to yours. Next, a third kingdom, one of bronze, will rule over the whole earth. Finally, there will be a fourth kingdom, strong as iron. For iron breaks and smashes everything. And as iron breaks things to pieces, it will crush and break all others. Just as you saw that the feet and toes were partly baked of clay and partly of iron, so this will be a divided kingdom, yet it will have some strength of iron in it, even as you saw iron mixed with clay. Verse 42 goes on to say, as the toes were partly iron and clay, so the kingdom will be partly strong and partly brittle. And just as you saw the iron mixed with baked clay, so the people will be a mixture and will not remain united, any more than iron mixes with clay. In the time of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed, nor will it be left to another people. It will crush all those kingdoms and bring them to an end, but it will itself endure forever. This is the meaning of the vision of the rock cut out of the mountain, but not by human hands, a rock that broke the iron, bronze, clay, and silver, and the gold to pieces. The great God has shown you, the king, what will take place in the future. The dream is true, and the interpretation is trustworthy. And then it says, then King Nebuchadnezzar fell prostrate before Daniel. Here's the king of the world on his knees before him, for Daniel, and paid him honor and ordered that an offering and incense be presented to him. And the king said to Daniel, surely your God is the God of gods and the Lord of kings and a revealer of mysteries, for you were able to reveal this mystery. Then the king placed Daniel in a high position and lavished many gifts on him. He made him ruler over the entire province of Babylon and placed him in charge of all its wise men. Moreover, and I like Daniel, he's always thinking of others. He's trying to be a blessing to others. Moreover, at Daniel's request, the king appointed Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego administrators over the province of Babylon, while Daniel himself remained at the royal court. So basically, in a nutshell, I don't know exactly what it looked like because I wasn't there, but here's basically what it is. This is what the king saw, this giant monstrosity. And God told him that, man, he's the head of gold. There's a bunch of metals in the statue. That was Babylon. It was the king of the world. You remember I told you in Babylon there was gold. Actually, historians recorded over walls, over temples, three-mile temples overlaid in gold. And he was that absolute real ruler. And the metals decrease in value but increase in strength and power. The next one, the next who defeated Babylon were the Medes and the Persians. And they came next, and that was the silver. You know, for whatever it's worth, their currency was silver. They changed their currency from gold to silver, and all their trades, all their taxes, all their currency, everything was silver. Even the King Darius and Artaxerxes, I don't know if you guys remember the movie 300. Yeah. Anybody see that? Okay, when he had the largest army ever, like 2 million men, right, all paid for in silver. So they were the silver, the Medes and the Persians. Everything that they did was always in silver. After that was thighs of brass, the kingdom that was going to come next and defeat Persia. I think that was Xerxes that got defeated, but that was with Alexander the Great. Greeks, they were all in brass. They had brass shields, brass helmets, brass breastplates, all their stuff. Alexander the Great, when he conquered them, it was all brass. They were known as all of their army was all bronze or brass. The legs of iron, that iron is Rome, and that came to power. They defeated the Greeks, and you guys remember what their legions were known for. They were known the Iron Legions of Rome. That was their military power. They basically smashed everything and anything that stood in their way. And the last was the feet. We'll get into that more in Daniel chapter 8 about what those means, different kingdoms and whatnot. It's a mixture of iron strength with clay weakness, but they don't hold together. And that rock that came down and smashed them all is the rock of Jesus Christ. And that's a kingdom that's going to, you know, I'm sure the king Nebuchadnezzar thought his power was going to last forever. He only lasted about 70, maybe 100 years before Persia, Medes and the Persians took over. Each one of these thought their kingdoms were going to last forever. But here we are. And the kingdom of Jesus Christ is ruling in our heart. And he's going to come again. The feet of iron and clay. You know, what is that going to be? Is that the European Union? Is that this? There's a lot of people, a lot of speculation of what that's going to be. But we don't know what that is. But one thing we do know is that Jesus Christ is going to smash any earthly kingdom for now and forevermore. And when he comes back, his rule and his reign is going to be absolute in our lives from now on forevermore. And we can be assured of that and be with the Lord forever. There's a lot more to say, but I'm already way over time. And so let's take a minute and let's pray. And then we can recap some of this stuff next week as we get into Daniel chapter 3. Father, I thank you that you are the rock, Christ Jesus, Lord. You are the stone that the builders rejected, Lord God. People rejected you, Lord, but your word says that you have become the cornerstone, that you are the foundation on which everything is laid. And that's going to become a great mountain, Lord God. And that's going to take over the earth, Lord. And so I just thank you for your rule and your reign, Lord. We look forward to you coming again, especially as I get older, Lord. I look forward to you coming again, Lord God, and ruling and reigning, Lord, and taking me to be with you, Lord God. I ask if there is anyone here who doesn't know the rock of Christ Jesus, Lord, that you would make yourself known to them supernaturally, Lord God, that they need you, that there is a heaven and a hell, that there is spiritual warfare that's going on all around them all the time, Lord God, and that you want them to turn to you and be saved. Not only be saved, but to be sanctified, to walk with you in power and authority, Lord God. Lord, I ask for your blessing to be upon each and every person here, that they would thank you and praise you, Lord God, for being the rock of their salvation, Lord God, to being that foundation on which their lives are built, Lord God, for those who know you. And I pray, Lord, that you would continue to build each one of us, Lord, into a royal priesthood, your word says, Lord God, that your word would be in our hearts, Lord, in a living and active in our lives, Lord, that we would be wise with how we speak to people and how we act towards other people, Lord God, so that we can bring glory to your name in everything we do and say. Help each one of us here, Lord, to be built up, to be a vessel used for you, for your kingdom will never end. We love you and bless you and praise you in the mighty name of our rock, our mighty rock and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen and amen and amen. God bless you guys. Have a great week in Jesus Christ's name.